The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC live here on ESPN Plus as the transfer window is now officially shut for the summer. Craig Burley with me. Is that shut the window?
That's well, it. I hope so.
Craig Burley with me here in the studio. We'll have James Ollie and Gab Marcotti joining us a little later on. But let's just remind you of the big deals that have been done today. We talked about this a lot. Jules said it was going to happen and it did. Aubameyang has moved from Barcelona to Chelsea. Meanwhile, out of right field, Arthur has made the loan move from Juventus. Zakaria, no one had this on their radar, has also gone from Juventus to Chelsea. Julian Draxler to Benfica. And Hector Bellerin has gone to Barcelona. We'll be talking more about that later on in the show. But let's focus on the game that has just finished at the King Power. Leicester in action against Manchester United. United up to fifth in the table now. A 1-0 win makes it three victories in a row. And after that dreadful start to the season, it looks like they're turning a corner. Well, for more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Frank and Shaka are with us. Craig, how would you sum this up?
Pretty good. I mean, we can talk about Leicester in a bit, or we can talk about them now, or we can throw them in the mix because they were awful, particularly in the first half. But from United, it's about building blocks. There was a terrific period in that game against Liverpool, got the job done. There was a dugout result at Southampton. It was not great. And here they pressed, they had a good shape, they passed it quite well, and they took advantage of Leicester's fallibility and their disorganisation. And again, Jadon Sancho, who started the season particularly well, gets on the end of an unselfish ball from Marcus Rashford. So, listen, United can only do what they have done, and that is to progress.
Yep.
And I thought that was more of the same.
What's changed, Shaq?
I thought that Manchester United sitting where well, standing against Liverpool, the next two performances, all right, good win against Southampton. I've expressed my concerns about Leicester before, and this just summed it up. And particularly Manchester United goal, the way it came, just spoke to how poor Leicester are. So if you're Manchester United, you take your three wins on the trot, you're now fifth in the table, you're above Liverpool, so there's a lot to be happy about. But I thought United were good without being overly convincing against a very poor Leicester. And there are tougher tests to come. They have pace in the front three. They have organisation. They have partnerships in the back. So there's a lot to be happy about. But I just thought, with all those things in place, as good as you say you're going to be, I thought you were more than a goal better than Leicester. And it should have shown. That's my only real concern today.
Frank, a lot of people want me to ask you what you made of Lisandro Martinez today.
Well, he did well, and he gave a free kick away, in the second half, and it was a very good free kick from Maddison. He does the job again, don't question what I, or don't try to analyze too much what I said last time. He's a great defender, but he goes for the aggressiveness of his football, where sometimes he should think just twice before making some tackles or some push like he did in that free kick. But he does well with Varane alongside him, and Dalot does well as well. So there is nothing much to do. I just want to join my colleagues, on what they said about Manchester United. They did well again today. But when I see the first half and I see after the second half, I wonder if Manchester United was good or if Leicester was very bad. And I think it's a little bit of both, but I would say that I'm very concerned about Leicester. The way they conceded the goal, it's an It's an awful collective mistake. And Justin, I don't know what he does and why he's sleeping on the right side and that way he doesn't sprint to go back. And but seeing the second half, I wonder if, because Leicester were better, if Manchester United will be lucky or and safe until the end of the season, because in the way I'm still circumspect about their performances, and the one I saw in Southampton and the one I saw today again, because I'm not sure they are as good as they pretend to be.
They've got Arsenal this weekend, and what we do know now is that Cristiano Ronaldo will be with them, well, now at least until January. We talked about him a lot over the summer. Came on, obviously tried to make an impact, fluffed his lines a couple of times.
Well, he's a sub, isn't he? And yeah, that's where he is in his career at the moment at this club. And let's be honest, it's his problem. He shouldn't have gone back there, but he did. He should have read that particular script a lot better. And he didn't get a move for whatever reason before this window has closed. And we heard all this stuff about it's not about the money, it's about the prestige and where he wants to play. Mm. Well, are we now saying then that he was prepared to take a huge cut in wages and still nobody wanted him at the end of this transfer window? Or was it he didn't want to take the cut in wages? Or did nobody just want him full stop? I mean, it has to be one of them, because the player himself stated that he didn't want to be at the football club early in the summer. But he is. But going back to, you know, just as a generalisation, he was a little bit unlucky here. But at no point am I disappointed with Manchester United.
Right.
Because, you know, if we're expecting Man United to dominate even teams that are struggling. Sorry, and I got a bit waylaid there. I wasn't expecting so many Cristiano Ronaldo replays, because it's pretty irrelevant. He's not going to play. But if you're expecting Man United to come up and even rob the poorer teams in the Premier League, then you're at the wrong movie. It might happen now and again.
Right.
But it's not going to happen with regularity, because that's not where they are. Don't sit and watch a game and expect them to dominate Leicester like Liverpool and City, particularly City at the moment. They're not at that level. You might see the odd one, but it's unlikely to happen, because they've only just come back off an absolute shambles of a start to the season. They're still picking themselves off the floor. Yeah, they had the momentum of a huge derby and what that meant and that result and that performance and all the changes that went with it and the clear message from Erik ten Hag to the players, the senior players, this is how it is, this is what we want, this is my team, you're out if you don't perform. Rugged game at Southampton, rugged in parts for this game, but in control for most. Mm. And De Gea made one great save, it was from a free kick. And yeah, I get it, Leicester are terrible. But United are not at a stage where they're going to waltz into any Premier League ground and just walk out with a 4 or 5 nil win and go, well, that was a walk. But this was about as close as it was going to get for them to being that. And bearing in mind where they are in their early progression under Erik ten Hag.
Just a reminder, as always, Extra Time is available on our YouTube channel. We'll be answering some of your questions on the final day of this transfer window. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, it's a lot of money that has been spent by the Premier League and indeed some others across Europe, but really it's England that has dominated, with Aubameyang being the big move on the final day of the season. Frank Leboeuf is still with us. We welcome Gab Marcotti and James Ollie to the show as well. Now, I suppose when you look at strikers in the past, since Drogba's arrival, a lot of them have really struggled to come in and take hold of that frontline role and make it their own, with the exception, really, of Diego Costa. Overall, James, does this fit what Tuchel wants?
Well, yes and no. It does in, obviously, the fact that he has a good relationship with the player. He had two fantastic seasons under Tuchel at Dortmund, 79 goals in 95 games, kind of speaks for itself. But there are some tactical questions about this. If you talk to anyone at Arsenal and watched the majority of his matches when he was with the Gunners, he was better off the left. There was always this debate about could he actually play through the middle and be as effective on a regular basis as he was off the left. It seemed as though the whole summer, Chelsea have been looking to try and find a recognised number nine to play through the middle to give them a little bit more potency in attack. But he's not always been effective in that position in the Premier League. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Thomas Tuchel has really bombed out Lukaku because he doesn't press the ball well enough. He wants those front three. You know, he's put runners in there to press, set the press from the front and really try and close teams down from goal kicks from when the centre-backs have the ball. Aubameyang's not really going to do that for you. You know, he's not someone who presses the ball on a regular basis. It's kind of part of the reason, although the disciplinary issues were also a side effect of it, it's part of the reason why Arteta and Aubameyang fell out at Arsenal, that he wouldn't do the hard graft, he wouldn't do that dirty work. But Tuchel and Aubameyang have a fantastic relationship, and if anybody can get a tune out of him on a regular basis, it is Aubameyang. He is proven in the Premier League. He is the best finisher at that club now, Chelsea, you know, by a mile. And those factors are the ones that should point to a positive short-term impact.
5 years ago, Craig, he put in these sort of figures under Thomas Tuchel. Is it worth the gamble to see if he's going to do it again?
It's not a gamble at that money. They've signed a player on transfer deadline day, and if they didn't sign him, they were up the creek with no paddles.
Yeah.
And the canoe was turning over the other way because they're under pressure. They're defensively poor. Okay, that might all be coming from partially starting from the front, and the old adage, you defend from the front, and that sort of kicks it off. But they still have defended poorly. But he needs somebody that can get a quota of goals. He can't. Yeah, he might be able to get that in Raheem Sterling to a certain extent. Although, as I've long said on the show, it's not going to be as easy to score goals regularly at Chelsea as it was at Man City, because the players are not on the same level. Havertz has proven to be a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. Good some days, not so good the other. And so he ultimately needs somebody that has the CV and the gravitas to put the ball in the back of the net. After all, they're good player. Not that they've had that much recently, but they certainly did for a long period in the Tottenham game. I go back to that. At a key point, Havertz missed from 6 yards. So it's not an ideal scenario all round. Chelsea don't normally go out and spend 10, 20 million to try and fix a problem. Mm. But there's not too many others out there that they can go and get. So it's a sort of needs must all round. The player needs to play this stage of his career. Barca are desperate to loosen up their finances. And Thomas Tuchel just needs to figure out a way to get this ball in the back of the net. Because that ultimately, if he doesn't do that, it's going to cost him his job. They've got no ownership there. They'll give him a bit of leeway, but not a lot of leeway, because they will also want to make a statement.
Frank, how long will it be till you tell us that you played with his dad?
Excuse me?
How long will it be till you tell us that you played with his dad?
Well, I can tell you now, and then we can end that, you know, right now. I had the chance to play with his dad, so I want to make sure, you know, Pierre-Emerick does well. You know what? I want to give the chance to the product before judging, and I'm pretty sure Pierre-Emerick will give his best, and hopefully it's going to work. But according to what James just told us, and what Craig emphasized just after, you know, he's not a real striker, but he's a striker. He played in the position of striker, but he was better maybe on the left side. And at the same time, Tuchel doesn't have the choice of the king, you know. He has no many choices to pick up the right striker because it's too late to pick up the right striker. You have not too many fantastic strikers. Haaland has been taken, Lewandowski as well. It was a failure with Lukaku. So who do you have else in a good price? Ronaldo, but you have to pay lots of money, I guess, and the wages are huge. But otherwise, that's it. So let's say it's a good bargain to have the level of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang signing for Chelsea. Now, again, I have to wait before judging because you never know what's going to happen. But we want a striker, well, Chelsea wants a striker who can score goals, which was kind of a curse, you know, lately.
Will this work, Gab?
I don't know. I certainly, if you look at the percentages, you look longer term, again, I have to agree with what James and Craig said. I think it speaks to the dysfunction there. You knew a long time ago that Lukaku was going. You had a lot of time to go and find a striker you wanted. Personally, I really like Armando Broja. He's there. He's in-house. He showed that he could do it last season for Southampton. It's a different level, of course, but those are still Premier League goals, more Premier League goals than Aubameyang scored. So now you're tying yourself up with a lot of money for a guy who's 33 years old, and then you'll be back to square one in a year's time. I don't know. To me, this kind of feels like a panic buy.
Chelsea have been busy, haven't they, over the summer when you take a look at the number of ins and outs at Stamford Bridge. Not only did we see Aubameyang coming in today, but Zachary, that's a lot of people. Zacharia as well on loan. James, where did this all come from? Because we went to bed last night and this wasn't on anyone's radar, I feel.
Well, they've been trying to do business for a while, and I do think that, not saying they're reacting to one game, but I do think the manner of the Southampton defeat was particularly galling. You know, Todd Bowley was in the stands at St Mary's, and the way they succumbed there, Thomas Tuchel didn't really pull any punches after that defeat. He was saying his team needed to toughen up, and I think that's one of the main reasons why Zakaria's come in. You know, they weren't prioritising the midfielder, but I think they know they need reinforcements in there. Tuchel was sort of moaning quite a lot about not having Kante, about Kovacic missing pre-season, about the Conor Gallagher red cards. The midfield is a little bit uncertain. And obviously, remember, Jorginho and Kante, by the way, are in the final year of their contracts at Stamford Bridge. So there are some uncertainties to come in the future there. It's been quite a scattergun approach, I think. If you talk to agents and clubs that have spoken to Chelsea, they've kind of come and gone for targets. They've sort of appeared out of nowhere, asked the question, then gone back or just gone off on another tangent. I do think it's a big window for Thomas Tuchel in particular, going back to Aubameyang to some extent. That is a Tuchel signing. Make no mistake about that. He is nowhere near the sort of profile of player that they were trying to sign. They were going for some good academy young players, but then they were also trying to sign, you know, players who could fit in now, not 33-year-olds who want a 2+1 year contract. That is a Tuchel deal. And he's made these decisions. You think about Lukaku going out on loan, Timo Werner going out back to Red Bull Leipzig. These are Thomas Tuchel decisions. He's, for the first time, moulding a squad in his own image. He won the Champions League with another man's squad, really. Then, of course, there was, you know, difficulties with the ownership, and they've not had the chance to really impose themselves in the window. And it's worth remembering they were fighting from behind in the summer. They've had to do this business late because they were starting late, because of the sanctions imposed by the UK government. But this does look as though it's all been thrown together at the last minute, and now Thomas Tuchel's got to kind of make it work.
Is Zakaria any good, Gab?
He was very good, I think, back when he was in Germany at Juve. He only arrived in January, only had 6 months. The team was kind of all over the place. He's a defensive specialist. I think he fits what Tuchel believes Chelsea need, right? If you're talking about a defensive midfielder, and of course you can also play in the back three if necessary, he fits the bill because, you know, newsflash, N'Golo Kante's been injured the best part of the last 2 years, and there's a World Cup. People have all decided that, you know, Jorginho, he's not a defensive midfielder. If you want to play with a defensive midfielder, with a specialist, it's kind of N'Golo, it's kind of this guy, or Conte, who's injured, Kovacic more of a two-way player. I can see why you would want a specialist in that role. And Zakaria foots the bill. So, you know, for a one-year loan, sure, why not?
I just want to go back to Aubameyang, James, who, of course, broke his jaw this week when burglars entered his house. What's the kind of scale regarding his comeback and when he'll be available to play?
They're talking 3 weeks, that sort of ballpark. It's not expected to be an issue with his medical. I think 2 or 3 weeks and we should see him playing again.
Despite James saying, obviously, Chelsea were behind the eight ball, a little bit started late. They've backtook a lot here. Does he have any excuses for Chelsea not to finish, say, top four?
No, I don't think so. I think top four, obviously, will be a bun fight. I was going to use that word James used, the scattergun, because it does seem that way. It's not an ideal scenario. It never has been since these sanctions came up and the ownership... the sale and the government getting involved and all this, it has been far from ideal. But he still has been able to get players out that have been underperforming and didn't want to be there, like Lukaku. And he's got some quality players in. Obviously, Aubameyang is a quality player. And it's a good last chance sort of saloon for him as well. You know, out the team at Arsenal, stripped of the captaincy. After that great spell of signing that new contract and winning the FA Cup and... he was the bee's knees again, and then after that big deal, it sort of started to dwindle away into mediocrity. Then the issues arose again. He gets this big move to Barca off the back of it because they were desperate. Before he knows it, they're going to sign everybody in sundry, particularly Lewandowski, and his time is limited. And he gets this fantastic opportunity again that a lot of players don't get at that age, to go back into England at a club that really... should be challenging on a lot of fronts. And so it is a huge opportunity for him when you think that they've signed Sterling as well. I know they've lost players, and they've signed Sterling and they've signed Koulibaly. Mm-hmm. Now they've signed Zakaria on loan.
Yep.
Big, strong midfield guy. So they've got some extra numbers in there. And so I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be in the top four fight. They're nowhere near good enough to be challenging City and Liverpool, if that's the two that are going to be there at the end of the season. We'll see where Arsenal... are when it all shakes down. But I know Roman Abramovich wouldn't suffer finishing outside the top four, so I don't know what Todd Bowley's remit is with this current manager. I just don't know.
It was the manner of their defeats, wasn't it, against Southampton and Leeds, which caused a lot of people to question in which direction Chelsea were going. Hence they've gone out, hence they've brought in some new faces, Frank. According to the bookies, they are fifth favourites now to finish in the top four, behind City, Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs. With these players that Tuchel has assembled, are they good enough to finish in the top four place?
Of course, I have no doubt that they're good enough to do so. But you know, it's all about chemistry and how they want to work together and sacrifice to each other. You can have the best 11 players in the world. If they don't want to work together, they're going to finish the last. So with the talent that they have and the signing that they made, of course they can finish in the first four. I have no doubt about that, and I'm very confident about that. But you will have to compete and be effective. And not only play 15 minutes like you did in the last game against Southampton and Leeds before. So it's not enough. Everybody know that. I think Tuchel is the first to know that, and he will have to make sure that the players are all concerned and they are ready to work. But with the new signing, I have no doubt that the motivation will be back in the dressing room.
James, what will it take for Tuchel not to be in charge, say, at Christmas?
Well, if they're struggling in the top four race, I think their Champions League group, I mean, they've got AC Milan obviously resurgent again, but you would expect them to get out of that group. It's very condensed, and clearly clubs won't probably wait until Christmas. Because of the World Cup, they'll be looking at November. That's the break in the season, isn't it? So he's got until November really to make this work. I mean, you've got to remember behind the scenes here, Thomas Tuchel's been given more influence over transfer policy than any coach that Chelsea have had in the last 20 years. So to trust his judgment, to start building a team in his own image, and then to get rid of him after 2 or 3 months would be Abramovich plus, you know, 2.0 for them to go down this road of suddenly deciding to bin a manager at the first sign of trouble. So I think they'll stick with him. I think it would have to get really bad for that to change. But he's got to start making it work. He can't really complain about players being out injured. And he does talk a lot about how reliant they are on N'Golo Kanté. You can't really justify that when you've gone and spent the sums that they have in the window. He's got not all of what he wanted in the window, but he's got quite a few. They've spent big money. There are no excuses. They should be top four minimum. If they're way off that, then there will be questions asked about him quite quickly.
I go back to Gab's point, and I agree with young Broja, and I wouldn't be getting disheartened if I was him about new signings, because he had a great year last year at Southampton. He's got the Premier League attributes, but I mean, he's big enough, he's strong enough, he's fast, he scored a good quota of goals last year, and I could see a point, if Tuchel's not getting what he wants, that Aubameyang, like James said, can go and play in the left, and maybe it means Sterling's going to go and play in the right, and Broja comes in. So I'm with Gab here. I like this young lad as well, and I think it would be folly to say, oh, I'm not, you know, it's not just about Aubameyang. Okay, he's raw, and it's a big ask on a young lad, but I honestly think he's a really, really good player. And when you look at all the people they've got, including him, to fit in a front three or whatever it is, there's five or six good quality players there
right.
that he can rotate to make sure he's getting the best at any given time. And when you see that list of players that he's signed and the amount of money they've spent, and I know money's ridiculous these days, there's not going to be a lot of excuses. And I get it, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater at the first sign of trouble. But he is making, early on in this season, a lot of excuses. He is making a lot of excuses in press conferences. And strangely enough, none of them, and none of the blame, is coming back towards him.
Right.
It's all about the players need to be tougher. The players need to be mentally stronger.
On the plane.
The players need to do this. The plane never turned up. That was the start of it, to go to Leeds. Maybe he's going to have to look a little bit inwards as well.
Right.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, we thought Liverpool had done all their business for the summer. However, Arthur Melo coming in, and you take a look at the injuries that Liverpool have suffered going into this season. Gab, we talked about this yesterday, about whether or not they were going to get somebody in. Is Arthur just a body, or does he add something?
Well, he's a skillful player who hasn't really shown it in the last 2-3 years for... between injuries, some disciplinary issues, Allegri didn't really fancy him at Juve. So he's not just the man in the street. He's not you or me, Dan. But is he somebody who, you know, Klopp is looking at, yeah, Archer will be a key part of my plan? No, I don't think so. I think he's there to make up the numbers in midfield in a situation where they're really, really woefully short. And obviously they've had injuries and Thiago Alcantara gets hurt. I think he's there to be a squad player. He can, you know, he's good on the ball. He can do some of the things, very few of the things that Thiago can do. He can make those runs from midfield into the box. We've seen him do that. He doesn't score many. But I think you're looking at, you know, number 5 or 6 in your midfielders when everybody's fit.
He's a body. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A body?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, and we've talked about it quite extensively over the last couple of weeks, that part of the issue with Liverpool is they have a lot of the same in the middle of the park. And since they lost Wijnaldum's goals, obviously they've been successful, but that's been reliant on Mane, Firmino and Salah. And then obviously Jota coming in, doing a great job, and Luis Diaz in the last 6 months. And he's a guy who comes in as a squad player, as Gab said, there's no doubt about it. But he's very much in a similar vein to a lot of the ones that he's got.
Apart from he hasn't really played.
Well, not on top of that, if you look at Juventus, Barcelona and Gremio, his stats, he was, I think it was in the league last year, it was 20 and no goals, no assists. The year before, it was a similar figures. Barcelona was 3 goals. Even go back to Gremio, 2 or 3 goals maximum. So he's not, it's not like they've brought somebody in that's going to give them something different in right. the middle of the park. They've got people to run around, chase it and pass it and win it. And they've got Fabinho, who is arguably one of the best holding midfielders in the game. They haven't got somebody, if that front three are having a problem, to come from the middle of the park and get their quota of goals. Yeah, maybe young Harvey Elliott will stand up eventually and he'll be somebody of that ilk. It's very early for that young man. But I was expecting them to go and try and get somebody that maybe wasn't so much of a ball player, but somebody that was going to give them something different from the middle of the park. He's a good player, but he's very similar to what they've got.
Meanwhile, think of the figure you could have got on the rental on your house in Nottingham, given everybody who's arrived
there. I could have rented it to all 20 of them.
Incredible amount of arrivals. All of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 22 arrivals coming in over the summer. Is this strategy going to work?
If you'd have said to me, bearing in mind that somebody that has lived a mile from that ground,
yep,
and has known and watch the history and how it's unfolded over the last 20 years, the problems, eventually getting up with the great job that Steve Cooper has done. If you'd have said to me, Forest are going to go out and go bananas, I would have said, particularly with the ownership, the Greek ownership, I would have said, no, I don't think so. I think they might just have a little tickle at it and see what happens. I'm not saying it's the right way or the wrong way. I don't know. There's teams that have done it both ways and they've been relegated. Trying it every other way. The only thing I would be concerned about is, and I don't understand, or I certainly don't know what the financial implications are
right.
with all these players in terms of the length, the money. I know there's transfer fees, but the salaries. I can't answer the question what relegation would mean to them, having made all these acquisitions. But it's certainly, they've made their mind up in terms of what way they're going to go. But it is not easy making that amount of changes and gelling it as quickly as they will need.
Meanwhile, when it comes to transfer window, I think it's fair to say the club we have discussed the most is Barcelona. And what a summer they've had. You take a look at the ins and outs under Xavi. Obviously, bringing in Rafinha from Leeds, Jules Koundé, managerially done from Sevilla, Lewandowski from Bayern, Frank Kessié as well. Meanwhile, Hector Bellerin and Marcus Alonso done deals today. Alonso part of that Aubameyang deal. You take a look at this, Frank, and it's been a really good window for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, from some fantastic signing. You know, I think about Jules Koundé, Lewandowski, even Alonso on the left side. I think and Kessié, of course, they had a chance with all the debt that they have to find some money from nowhere to afford some players and making sure that they're gonna be able to fight for the La Liga and maybe being able to do well in the Champions League. You know, that's my concern is about where the football goes when I see a club being so much in debt, being able to spend money and keep on spending money before, you know, refunding what they owe to others. So I don't like that. I don't like where football goes. I don't like to see that the club who is the most in debt, which is the most in debt, almost spend the most. That's strange for me. Doesn't work like that in life.
I mean, strangely enough, I would like to mention the fullbacks. It's a little bit of a mixed message, and I know maybe there's an air of desperation. They certainly were desperate for a fullback. Mm-hmm. Sergiño Dest was certainly out the door as soon as Xavi came in. He just didn't fancy him. I think they tried to squeeze Jordi Alba out, but it didn't happen. But Hector Bellerin, even at his age, will get up and down the wing. I just don't think the way that Barcelona play with the passing, he's not the best on the ball.
Right.
He's not the best passer of the ball from a full-back position. And on the other side of the coin, I think Marcos Alonso has done a great job at Chelsea, but Marcos Alonso's best period at Chelsea was no doubt when they played a three at the back and he was a wing-back. He hasn't played as well. He has struggled more as a full-back. He has been better when he's had a left-sided defence. Now, maybe Xavi will go to a back three. Maybe Barcelona will dominate teams in Spain. It won't matter so much. I don't know. I'm just telling you, the facts are that in a back four, he has not been as comfortable, Marcos Alonso, as a left-back as he has been as a left wing-back. But yet, Barca have made that decision. Unless they're going to change shape, it just tells me that it was almost like we just need to get people in these positions and fill these holes.
And get people out as well. Memphis Depay stays, Brathwaite gone, Serginho Dest gone as well, Gab. And De Jong is still a Barcelona player.
Yeah, in the end, De Jong saying, I'm going nowhere, you can't make me. So much for your ultimatums. He's around. I think he's I think he's definitely a bonus. You know, to what Craig said about Alonso, I'd suggest stay tuned. I have the same reservations over Bellerin. One thing that we know about Xavi is that he's a little more tactically flexible. We already saw in the last couple games when, you know, it was kind of a nominal back four, but it was really a back three plus Alex Balde kind of bombing on the side. Could they have something like that to accommodate Alonso, for example, if they need to? Could we see De Jong in part of that back three package in certain situations? I think now that De Jong is staying, these are all things that Xavi's going to think about, because I think it's very important for him to get the pieces to fit together.
James, you've been sitting patiently while everyone's been waffling on. I'll give the last word to you, just regard to the transfer window overall.
Well, it's a Premier League record, isn't it? I think it's £1.9 billion in total the clubs have spent. And actually, if you look at the other four major leagues in Europe combined, they've reached that level. And Frank there was talking about Barcelona and how they can do what they've done with the debt they have. I think the Premier League spending power in this window just shows you how much the other four leagues have got to scramble to try and stay competitive with the Premier League might. We've really seen it this summer like never before.
Yeah, most definitely. You can't see it changing anytime soon. We'll say thank you very much to James and to Gab. Just a reminder then, La Liga continues this weekend here on ESPN Plus. Great triple header for you on Saturday. Starts at the Bernabeu. First home game for Real Madrid of the season. They take on Real Betis. Then Atleti away against Real Sociedad, of course, in action against Manchester United on Thursday. And Sevilla against Barcelona. Looking, trying to get something going from the start of this season as Barcelona just finding their groove. Let's just keep an eye on what happened regarding the US internationals during the summer transfer window. As we mentioned, Serginho Dest is out of Barcelona. He joins AC Milan on loan. Ricardo Pepe, who pretty much I'd forgotten about, joins Groningen in the Eredivisie from the Bundesliga. And John Brooks, who was supposed to be going to Mallorca, is in fact now heading to Benfica on a free transfer.
Cool, that was money well spent in Pepe, wasn't it? Holy smoke.
They'll be talking about all of this and a lot more on the latest edition of Football America's No Seb. So,
why?
He's on holiday.
That's not allowed.
Might make it's it
only, us, only us allowed to take holidays.
Meanwhile, of course, the Bundesliga continues tomorrow here on ESPN+. Plus. Borussia Dortmund taking on Hoffenheim. Coverage starts at 2:30 Eastern on Plus. And also Friday night action in the Championship, West Brom against Burnley on Plus. Kickoff for that game is 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll be looking back at all of that on the next edition of the show, so be sure to join us. That is it. That brings us to the end.
Transfer window
the
done.
The transfer window
done
closes.
And dusted, gutted. Yeah. Don't know what we're going to talk about going forward. We'll come up with something.
Pretty painless, though, in the end, wasn't it? I feel, compared to other years. Be sure to stay tuned.
Other years.
What, we only have 42 minutes? That's not bad. Extra time is next. Craig with us here in the studio. Frank, is Shaka, how have you spent transfer deadline day?
Not following transfers.
Oh.
What gets me in transfer?
Fun.
What gets me in the transfer deadline day is if you have a bit of time and you're sat at home like me today and I was on my phone.
Right.
Reading my, not so much on Twitter posting, just reading my news.
Okay, good.
Is
yes.
The amount of BS people come out with.
Right.
Because you know what it is. Sitting telling you about transfers from teams and players and how he plays in a certain position. No idea. You know, players that most people have never heard of.
Right.
From teams you've never heard of, going, oh yeah, he's magnificent. He'll fit in there in a three at the back. And he'll be a hot. And you're thinking, shut up.
Oh. What about you, Frank? Are you still
massaging your ego?
Are you still in Normandy, Frank?
Yes, I'm still in Normandy, so I didn't look at anything about the transfer window and around the swimming pool. I was after going to work out and watering my plants, you know, flowers at the end of the day, and waiting for that fantastic
you're
show.
You're telling me I'm the only one
to do my job.
I think you were.
I mean, that's worrying. I was the only one following studiously the transfer deadline today.
Frank, what swimming stroke is your favourite, Frank? I can imagine a breaststroke. Don't like getting your hair wet.
No, I. What you're talking about? My plants and my flowers. What I love the most? I love all of them.
Your swimming. Your swimming technique.
Oh, my swimming technique.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm fantastic. You know, in crawl, in everything. You know, I can do whatever you want. You know. Oh my God.
Can you do the butterfly?
You should have thought about me to play the
What a waste
Tarzan,
of time, the butterfly
you know?
Is.
The butterfly, do the butterfly. Oh, he could be the French Duncan Goodhue.
Oh, butterfly!
Do, that's what, nobody knows who that is.
I don't care, look it up. You can look it up.
You could say Michael Phelps would be a little more relevant.
Michael Phelps is not bald.
Yes, but
Duncan Goodhue is bald.
I've seen
a butterfly, you've tried that.
I've seen Shaka swimming.
It's hard.
Shaka cooling off after a big night out in the sea.
What?
Right, fun question here. What do you do?
Breaststroke.
You know what Stevie does? He walks, couldn't he? Because he can't, his shoulder doesn't go above his neck.
Well, he can do that.
No, apparently not.
I haven't gone there as a gigantic waste of time.
Fun question here, Craig. Aubameyang over or under 15 goals this season?
Yeah, it's reasonable. Because we get a lot of stupid questions.
Right.
And for some reason, they make it on. I don't
Good.
Know.
Well, thank you for your questions, everyone.
No, not. No.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the reasonable ones. Stupid ones?
Right.
No thanks.
Okay. 15.
I think that's a reasonable question. I'm going to say. Wow.
Oh. Oh, you're really giving this some thought.
Yeah, because. I'm going to say over.
Over?
Yeah, slightly. Just over.
I'd have gone under. Shaka, higher or lower?
But never asked you.
I am going to go just over as well.
Frank?
I'm going to say 12.
Oh,
I'm telling his dad.
Very exciting.
I'm telling his dad.
Craig, what's more likely to happen? Manchester United to finish top four or Leicester to be relegated?
I don't think Leicester will be relegated.
Do you not?
No.
Brendan Rodgers scathing after the game, saying, this is not the same club as it was 2 years ago, we haven't brought anybody in.
I know, they signed one outfield player.
Yeah, which was a replacement.
Today or yesterday. If he stays and they allow him to go through this and he doesn't jack it in, they are better than some of the other teams that
right.
are down there. Come on. They've got better players in Southampton. They've got better players than Bournemouth. Fulham have signed a few players, actually, so I don't think they'll be relegated. So I think there's what was the question? Less chance of that happening.
Okay. For Frank, do you see any way back for Maguire now after three straight wins and back-to-back clean sheets?
No way. Right now, no way. Because first, the others are doing great or well, and so Ten Hag is gonna count on them and would not make any change. And on top of it, I think Maguire, psychologically talking, I think the guy is nowhere near it. I don't know what's gonna happen in his future, near future, but I think he will have to think about leaving the club because I don't see him coming back. I don't see him being performant with Manchester United. If he comes back, he would have to rebound somewhere else. It's impossible for him to, I don't see him doing great at Manchester United, even within a month or 2 months.
How many Carabao Cup games do you need to play at the World Cup for England?
Yeah, it's going to be a big dilemma, isn't it, for Gareth Southgate, who's been very loyal to him.
I'm not particularly worried.
No? Are you going to be here for the World Cup?
What, do you mean, like, on the earth?
I'm hoping
it'd
be a very you move to go on holiday.
To be fair, I'm hoping I got a couple of months at least to hover around. Did you say, am I what, taking a holiday?
Yes, during the World Cup.
Well, I mean, well, I don't know, I'd like to.
Okay, Frankie.
No, I mean, I would do that.
Frankie, you coming here for it?
Can I what?
Are you coming here for the World Cup?
Yes, I'm coming here for 2 weeks, in the first 2 weeks of
that's
the World
it,
Cup.
Sold. I'm taking a holiday. I'm on holiday, that's it, sold.
Shaka, are we allowed to reveal what you're doing?
You don't
doing?
Want to be...
Is that embargoed?
Is Don coming?
I don't know if Don's coming.
Don, you know Don's turned into the pronunciation police?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you tweeting his Hutchinson or something.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
I mean, how can Don be the pronunciation police?
I don't know, he's on it. He's trying to take that mantle from Derek.
You've got to be quite a sad individual to be sat at home. I don't mean Don. I mean, as a generalisation, to be sat there worried about a little pronunciation mistake in a commentary or something. Oh. You really have to be quite sad.
Although I had a lot of Martinez on the show today when I was coming in.
What?
Martinez.
Is it Martinez?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nothing to really get that upset about.
I don't know. What if they called you something different?
Lots of people do.
Well, yes, indeed.
At home, mostly. And I know, before I get in here today, you were also probably calling me names. There was nobody else in.
I don't think so.
No? Well, no. That's a change.
After Haaland...
I think even I wouldn't push the boundaries of taking the World Cup off.
Okay.
I've thought about it.
Right.
No.
Oh, okay, look at you, loyal. After Haaland's 9 goals in 5 games, is the Premier League now the Farmers League, Shaka? It's always kind of a weird phrase, isn't it?
It is. It's a phrase that we normally have Frank objecting to. Listen, we all knew exactly how good Haaland was coming into this league. The numbers don't really surprise anybody, given who he's playing for. So the answer to that question, I know it's very tongue-in-cheek, obviously no. I can't wait to see how much he scores.
Well, actually, there'll be a lot of people out there, Shaka, that it's not tongue-in-cheek or irony or sarcasm. There'll be a lot of people out there that is going, seriously, because a lot of them not very bright when it comes to this sport.
Right.
They're going, oh, look at this. Couldn't do this in Germany. I mean, this is just the Premier League. Well, what they don't understand, and they really don't, some of them, is... He's playing, although they didn't win the Champions League, effectively, arguably the best club side on the planet.
Right.
With the best players. Right? So you figure it out for yourselves. Of course, against the weaker teams, they are going to pulverise them with chances.
So why is that different to PSG, for example, in France?
Because City are a better team than PSG. Hence the reason they knocked them out of the Champions League, and hence the reason they completely outplayed them. That's why.
Oh. Do you want to chip in, Frank?
Bless you already, Shaka.
Thank you, Frank.
No, I don't want to discuss about that. I think people are misunderstanding, and I totally agree with Craig. First, Haaland is a fantastic player, but he's being served fantastically by his teammates. And it's why now he's shining like crazy in the Premier League. And it was just for me normal to see him, you know, scoring goals and goals and goals. I said he's already the last show is an alien because the guy knows how to do everything. But on top of it now, he's surrounded by the top of the top. So I don't know if it would work the same with Paris Saint-Germain. But the way that Guardiola makes his team play, it's 100% good for Haaland. And it's why I wonder why Guardiola was waiting so long to get a striker in that level last year, the year before, where he almost played with no strikers.
I mean, people got to understand, right? Seriously, we're not flag bearers for the Premier League. And I worked for the Premier League for many years when I was there, and I'm not. It's a lot of the teams in the Premier League are dross.
Mm-hmm.
It's sold. I mean, it is. It's the richest league in the world. It's the most watched globally, and it's the most sought after globally. There's a lot of bad teams in the Premier League.
Yep.
There's no getting away from it. But at the top end, the upper echelon, it's a lot of top players up there.
Frank, did you ever dread playing with a player because you knew the player would make a lot of forward runs and you would be left to cover their position, man?
Did you guys dread? What is a dread player?
So were you worried when you were with a partner and you know he'd go marauding up the field and then you have to cover him?
No, my teammates thought that because I was going forward and they had to cover me. But no, not really. I mean, you know, sometimes, yeah, in the national team with Christian Caramba. Christian used to go forward and we called him the crazy horse, you know, because he was going forward. And sometimes we said, where are you going? Stay there. And but we knew how to cover him and we accepted it because he was a very talented player.
This goes back to the Red Hill. I've told you the Red Hill story.
I don't remember it.
Yes. Well, yeah. When Glenn Hoddle, when he first came into Chelsea, and Glenn Hoddle who liked to tinker a little bit, but had an idea of playing with a back three and a sweeper and wanted to mould the team that way. And Rude was going to come in and play as the libero, the sweeper, which he had done before, although he was World Player of the Year as a striker. But that fell flat on its face quite quickly when Rude would go in those runs that the question is asking about. These mazy runs, he'd go up front and nothing would come of it in the end. But he would take him, he could have had a fortnight's holiday by the time he got back. And so, after many attempts, including one of them been shouting at me to tell him to get back, rather than telling them, and they telling them themselves, they tried to get me to tell him, at which point I told them where to go.
Right.
They then put him up front in his normal position.
Oh, and it worked out well.
Yeah, that worked out better because he was not able to go full length of the pitch and not come back.
I've got a text from Don. He says it's libero.
It's libero. Don can't text. Can't be
libero,
from him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of those ones. But what did he do? So the management were frightened to tell him.
Right. Okay.
Like, you know, can't tell him. Get somebody else to tell him. Then I went, I won't tell you what I said.
Well, yes. Anyway. Final question to you, Shaq. Who did the best business this transfer window?
Barcelona. Mm. I thought Barcelona had an incredible transfer window. The only questions about Barcelona.
No money, Shaq.
Yeah.
The only questions are about the long-term effects of it. But for a club that are flat broke, man, they spend a lot of money. I need to figure that out.
Do you know what? As well, the game's changed. There's no doubt about it. The pitch is the same size.
Yes.
The ball's still round.
Right.
But they play it a little differently. Of course they do. But also, I was sat today and I thought to myself, how many videos do I need to watch of players that are leaving clubs? Posting videos.
Right, oh, I see.
Messages.
Like a goodbye thing.
Yeah, rather
that's nice, isn't it? Nice.
I knew you were going to say that.
Isn't
that nice? You just think everybody's nice. Not like the old days when you walked in, see everybody, give them a little hug, got your boots, sodded off, got on a flight, bosh.
If you leave here, we make a nice video of you.
Thank you, man. Well, you make a video. But I know I did put it on, there was like, Oriol Romeo was leaving Southampton, there was a lovely video. Somebody else was leaving, there was a lovely video.
But why would that be frustrating?
No,
isn't it just a nice touch?
You take my point wrongly. I'm saying how things have changed.
Right, but I feel there's a negative connotation to you bringing it up.
Of course. That's not shy. Well, I was thinking, when I saw these videos, just get your boots and sod off.
But they're not making the videos, are they?
They were.
No.
They were private videos.
No, I'm sure somebody
each their own, Daniel. You merely missed the point I'm saying.
Right.
That's how it's changed these days.
Right.
And I didn't look at the responses, but I've got a bit of your responses. Go on, sod off.
Oh, there you are.
You know, because people are
horrible. Your Celtic video would be good.
We're the only nice.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Frank,
Frank,
late night swim tonight? What's it, 1 o'clock now?
Frank, you're killing animals in the roof of your house? Yeah, about that time.
Well, leave me alone. I won't kill anybody. I won't go to my pool to swim like Craig.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Like that, you know.
God, be careful.
That.
Don't dislocate
I'm
a shoulder.
Go to bed.
Yeah, that'll affect the golf.
There you
I'm
are.
Just gonna go to bed.
Well, yes, I imagine it won't.
Frank, how come you're in Normandy as much as you are?
It's where his posh new house is.
Oh. Yeah.
Hope he's got that down as a second resident.
Someone just switched you on and it's got Frank going, I didn't kill anyone. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow. I'm sure more reflection on what happened in the transfer window.